Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Aurelia Metals Limited Fiscal Year 2025 Full Year Results. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Bryan Quinn, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Kate, and good morning to everyone who's dialed in this morning. Really appreciate your time. Today, with members of the executive leadership team and board, we're proud to share our financial year 2025 full year results with the market. Today on the call with me is Martin Cummings, the CFO, and we'll take you through the results, which sort of reinforce the strong message we've been presenting on our performance. And you'll note from the presentation, all our key metrics are trending in the right direction. These results highlight the strength of our strategy and the dedication of our people. We have delivered outstanding safety improvements while substantially increasing earnings and profits, while maintaining a strong balance sheet. Importantly, we've achieved this while also investing in our future through the development of our new Federation mine and also many projects in our portfolio. We are building a business that's safer, stronger, and positioned for sustainable growth in a very stable mining region in Australia, which is a great news story for Aurelia. I'll be referring to the slides as we move through the pack. So on slide one, firstly, our forward-looking statements. I'd just ask people to please reference these at your leisure. They're important to obviously recognize what's in those. On to slide two. Financial year 2025 has been a year of delivering our production guidance with the improved safety and also delivering our strategy to really improve our operational performance while growing our business. Firstly, we've improved our safety performance, as I just said, from FY 2024, and as I continue to say, nothing's more important than our people going home every day safely, and all jobs can be done safely. And we've achieved also our guidance targets, which is an excellent result for all of these metrics. We continue progress with our focus on operations excellence to deliver higher profits into the future, and we believe there is more we can unlock still as we progress. Federation mine has successfully commenced production, is progressing well in the ramp-up, and the Peak processing plant has been enjoying the high quality and good throughput from the ore from Federation, with some excellent recoveries. Importantly and notably, the Federation project has remained under budget, which was approved by the board, and we intend to replicate this outcome in Great Cobar project also. The Great Cobar project was approved and now has started execution of developing twin declines towards the ore body from the new Cobar operating pit portal entrance, and we're using whatever infrastructure, existing infrastructure we can to build this business. This will allow a medium-term deliverable to progress towards more copper and gold from FY 2028, as we've committed to the market. Our board also approved the upgraded capacity for Peak processing facility, which will enable our strategy in the Cobar region to go from up to 1.1-1.2 million tons capacity, using very capital-efficient methodologies, repurposing equipment both from Dargues, but also giving great financial returns for our investors through these projects. We've also continued exploring the region, both in the vicinity of Peak and Nymagee, along the fault lines that run between Great Cobar down to Federation, with a clear focus that we've reported to the market on Nymagee resource and also the Federation West, to name a few priorities. We'll talk more about these later in the presentation. And lastly, and importantly, we've been successfully and sustainably closing the Dargues mine and obviously progressing remediation works and continuing to sell the assets to the market or transfer and repurpose to Peak, Great Cobar, or the Federation mine, which obviously saves us capital. As I stated up front, this has been a very successful year for delivery for the company, the size of Aurelia, and can only be achieved with really good people and leaders working hard in the background, all working towards unlocking our full potential. I'll move on to the next slide, which is the FY 2025 highlights. This slide really demonstrates some of the metrics on how well we're progressing. We'll discuss these metrics in more detail, but I really want to call out, this really shows the strength of our business and the performance for this year, and disciplined delivery of our strategy, that Aurelia management are pushing forward with. Some really strong EBITDA numbers, good EBITDA margins, good profits, good margins on our sort of products, improved safety and a strong balance sheet supporting our business going forward, which we'll talk more about. Just moving on to the next slide, which is on sustainably delivering value. We're very happy that we've improved our total reportable injury frequency rate, which means we're having less injuries, which is fantastic and definitely our key priority. We still had too many injuries in FY25, mainly hand injuries, people putting their fingers and hands in pinch points and lines of fire, causing cuts and abrasions. And through improved field leadership and focus on hazard identification, our take five process, we'll get better at this. But obviously, we've still got a way to go if people are having hand injuries. We also delivered a really good environmental incident reporting outcome as well, which you can sort of see on the presentation. Importantly, our social capital is our license to operate, and we continue to work with our community. We've established the community hub, which has been a great success for the company. We've also continued spending money on local procurement for the region and have been very diligent in our donation process in the Cobar region. Obviously, Cobar is very central to our business, and some of the spending items that have gone through donations committee this year include bringing the Sydney Youth Orchestra to attend the Cobar High School to perform with the students. We've done sponsorship with the Copper City Men's Shed, really supporting the local Cobar Roosters League Club across all ages, but also proud to sponsor two women teams this year for under 13s and under 15s. And also put money into the Lillian Brady Retirement Village, the only aged care centre in Qatar. So really making a difference with the money we're generating from the business to really put back into the community and make it a great place to live and work. On the next slide, I move on to production guidance achieved. In terms of our production guidance, all commodities were within guidance. Again, showing the discipline delivery of our team to ensure we meet these targets we presented to the market. As we don't report all in sustaining costs anymore, I thought it's just worth calling out, though, that we did actually achieve $2,037 per ounce, and FY24 was $2,035. So pretty much the same result, but with headwinds of higher costs and obviously less gold produced in FY25 compared to FY24. So it really shows the performance of the business to deliver our cost structure and also to get our volumes up for other commodities since Dargues has closed. So pretty robust effort overall for the full year for our production guidance, and really sort of shows the potential of our business. A couple of key drivers not shown on this particular page for production guidance, and it's not a guidance set of numbers, but I want to call them out nonetheless. And that is we've really been focusing on increasing our development metres at Peak and at Federation. And obviously, we're going to continue to push that into FY26, especially as we bring Great Cobar metres into our business as well. The team's achieved several monthly records throughout the year at Peak over the last 6 months, which has been great to see as we continue to ramp up the metres, which provides support for our mining. Federation also delivered better development metres over the year than was budgeted. So once again, showing that we're making step change in our performance, really looking at how we can get the development progressing in front of our working areas to provide suitable areas for production that can be set up safely and with enough time to ensure that we can meet our targets, guidance numbers. Beyond just the results, we're also putting a large focus in FY25 and into FY26 on utilisation and availability of equipment and the implementation of our mine operating system. This will all work towards supporting our $100 a tonne aspirational target that I've set for the teams to really increase our cash margin and deliver our guidance going to FY26. So I'll hand over to Mark to talk through some of the positive results from our financials.
Thanks, Brian. And just moving on to slide 7, and really this slide captures the improvement year on year that I'm pleased to report today. Our group EBITDA is a 69% increase on the prior year at $122 million, and that equated to an EBITDA margin of just over 35%. I guess the pleasing bit for me is within that EBITDA result for the group was the performance of Peak this year. Peak's EBITDA increased from $55 million last year to $122 million this year on the back of higher gold production and, of course, higher prices. This really was a fantastic result and was able to offset the impact of closing Dargues in the first quarter. and that did result, though, in lower gold production for the year. But as you can see on the donut chart, gold remains really important to us and is the dominant revenue source in our revenue mix. But as we outlined in the Investor Day, we'll now start the transition with Federation ramping up to a higher proportion of base metals production. Just within our group EBITDA result, you may notice we also did recognise some sundry income of $7.3 million is the item relating to sale of excess biodiversity credits that we've been reporting through the quarterlies. So that is a one-off that we've taken through EBITDA, but pleasing that we can realise the cash on those excess biodiversity credits. Well, it was also great with our group EBITDA higher and lower depreciation and amortisation with the closure of Dargues that we were able to return to a profit after tax this year. And this is a significant milestone for us. It is actually the first full year profit that we have recognised since 2021. So from here, our focus is on cost reductions and they are now in full swing at peak. And it's pleasing that our all-in sustaining cost was able to be maintained even on lower gold production and generated great cash flow for the year. But now we're going after the $100 a tonne mining cost target that Brian's taken you through. And that team is in place and the work is underway. Just finally, you may note some comments about Federation and commercial production. So we do intend to report Federation as a commercial operation from the 1st of July. And that's based on actual performance so far this financial year, but also our outlook, particularly for this quarter. I will stress that the EBITDA that Federation will generate in the early periods will be modest, but that will build up over the year as mining tonnes ramp up. So just shifting to slide 8, and I have talked a lot about the balance sheet this year, and it's something we're very proud of. But just to recap, we're finished with over $110 million of cash in the bank, and over $145 million in liquidity and no drawn debt. Peak's operating cash flow, and that's after sustaining capital of $96 million, was a huge jump from the $37 million it generated in the previous year. And along with a small contribution from the remaining Dargues production, more than funded the combined $84 million in growth at Federation and for exploration. I might just focus on the last item before the June cash number in the waterfall around restricted cash. So during the year, we did reach the credit limit on our Trafigura performance bond facility, which meant we had to post an additional $17.5 million in restricted cash. So the Trafi facilities are now into the third year, and with that, the cash backing on the performance bonds starts to be requiring us to put cash up, and also the loan note starts to step down. So this year, right now, I'm going to commence a refinance of the facility. That's both the performance bond facility and the loan note. The main objective is to get that higher performance bond facility and get that restricted cash back. But I'm also looking at a facility at a lower cost than what we have at the moment. So we'll start the preparation work on that this month, and I'm looking to close that new facility sometime during H2. But what that will mean is we will continue to cash back some of the performance bonds in line with the Trafigura facility. And then ultimately, as I say, once we close that facility, that cash is intended to be returned. So look, in summary, a really satisfying year from a financial perspective where we returned to profit, we generated excellent cash flow, and we have a strong balance sheet now that's able to fund our investments in Great Cobar and the Peak expansion. I'd just like to thank the Aurelia Finance team and the EY team. Many of you are on the call today for your efforts putting this together. It has again been quite a smooth financial year, and that's the result of your hard work. So thank you from myself and from Brian. And I'll hand back to you, Brian.
Thanks, Martin. As Martin just spoke through, if you go to the next slide, our pathway to 40,000 tonnes. So FY25 has been a very important year for us to reshape our business and have Peak Mine working well, getting Federation now ramping up and delivering EBITDA, and while we start commencing our next set of journeys, which is really to get Great Cobar developed and obviously get the optimisation projects well underway, which I'll talk to in a few minutes. But as you can sort of see from this slide, we have a clear pathway where we really are taking it step by step sequentially, making sure that we can obviously fund our growth,
in a very clear way, and being very clear with and intentional around how we manage the balance sheet to get there. And obviously with the focus we have right now and with the plans we have right now, we believe that well and truly we can self-fund that growth and maintain a strong balance sheet over the period of time. So that pathway to 40,000 copper equivalent tonnes is definitely in our sights, and all the various projects approved by the board that have allowed us to move in that direction over the next 2 years. So very exciting to be part of Aurelia when we can actually generate this cash and these profits now and look at how we can actually optimise our business going forward in the next couple of years, and a strong position we actually have with the pipeline to support this also. So I might just move on to the next slide, which is the Great Cobar project slide. So in FY25, we did approve the Great Cobar project. I just want to call out some key highlights of this project. It's very exciting for us and our investors. At spot prices, when we presented this, the rate of return, IRR, was 33%, NPV was $164 million. Obviously, prices have improved since then. And capital at $92 million, obviously, that hasn't gone up since then, which is great. What it's going to give us is 3.6 million tonnes production target, 2.3% copper and 0.9 grams per tonne gold. That's really as we know it now. And as we presented during the presentation of the Great Cobar Project, and Andrew Graham alluded to, there is actually exploration holes that are under the production area that we've identified, have good grades, and really we're limited by drilling to know what the full potential is beyond what we've actually declared to the market. As we progress down the twin declines and get closer to the ore body, we'll be setting up a drill platform to start punching holes down under that area to open up the potential for this particular project and operation for the future. Very exciting for us as we progress this project as it is. And as I stated earlier, we have all the approvals in place now, and we intend to run this project very tightly like we have with the Federation project, so there's no surprises to the market. I'll move on to the next project, which has been discussed and presented on the next slide, which is a project we had approved by the board in FY25 as well. Just a recap for those who may not be up to speed with it. Importantly, the optimisation project was all about how do we grow in the safest and most efficient manner that we can use our existing infrastructure and that allow us to present the best returns we can for the business from our investment. That includes getting better recoveries, getting better throughput, being able to utilise the resource in the area, both in Federation and Peak and Great Cobar, to really maximise revenue potential. And the optimisation study really highlighted that if we went and did the work on the Peak processing plant rather than reusing Hera at this stage, then we'd get better returns for our investors. And that's what the project was all about. So the three parts of the project are in the slide. And they're really, they've been approved by the board and are in execution phase now as we talk. As you can recall, FY25 was a major milestone with getting our government approvals to haul the 600,000 tonnes from Federation to Peak. That was previously 200,000. So now we have that sort of haulage capacity. And really now, as Federation ramps up, we intend to have these projects in place to be able to deal with the increased volume, and hopefully we'll see this towards the end of this year and then start of FY27 really ramping up nicely in line with both projects and Federation to go progress towards our 1.1, 1.2 million tonnes and ultimately move into our 40,000 copper equivalent tonnes into the market in FY28. So very exciting times for the company, very sequential. We have a project team dedicated to this to ensure we can deliver it very much using similar principles that we've done inside the company already. I'm just going to move on to the next slide, which is exploration. Just a recap for FY25. Our exploration team have continued to deliver excellent results this year to really unpack the potential for the region. As I've said, and Andrew Graham said in the past as well, you know, what limits us with our potential is really just drilling. And so as you can sort of see, we are continuing to drill Federation West and Nymagee in FY25, and that's also progressing in FY26. But, you know, you just got to look at the various, you know, sort of numbers that we have presented on the drilling. It's really amazing the sort of potential we're dealing with. We just need to continue drilling those regions to continue to unlock them and see what we can make for a potential pipeline for our future. So the main focus will be in FY26. We'll continue to search additional lenses around the main ore body at Federation West, like Federation West, around Federation, and similarly for Nymagee, we're going to focus on the north areas and the central areas between the main ore body and the north sort of area. This has unlocked very low-cost organic options for us if we get the resource that we're looking for, makes some good results. So just a recap too on those results, those announcements we did on Federation West and Nymagee have basically been June 2024, February 2024, and also June 2025, just for your reference if you want to look back and understand what the results have looked like in the past. So that's FY25. Martin's highlighted the really good financial results. We've talked about our guidance and operational results, and obviously we believe we have a lot more to give, and we will be pushing for a lot more in FY26. The ELT is very committed, as so is the leadership teams on site, to make this business really sort of hum in a really good way in terms of delivering shareholder value. So our key focus areas in that light for FY26 is really about increasing our cash flow from the gold and base metals production and develop our growth, proper growth options as we move forward with Great Cobar and having our processing facility at Peak set up to really take the ore and generate lots of value for that. So really, when I call out these key points on the slide, it's really around making sure that we continue to really focus on disciplined capital delivery and making sure we retain our strong cash balance sheet. And obviously, as a leadership team, we have developed contingency plans and we have got options that we're looking for and levers we can pull as we need to ensure we deliver that strong balance sheet. We obviously want to continue safely delivering improved productivity from our existing operations to really maximise that potential of cash flow to fund our growth and hopefully have excess. We want to make sure the balance sheet remains strong. We want to make sure that we can safely ramp up Federation in line with our production, and if not, even go beyond that by bringing more production online in FY26 and FY27. We want to make sure that we can deliver a Great Cobar project development milestones, similarly deliver the project like we did Federation, and hopefully have FY28 set up for success with Great Cobar kicking off. And we want to focus on our pipeline of organic options. That's really our exploration, looking at what we can do from a regional point of view. We still have the Hera plant available at some stage if we want to look at that as an option to grow. But right now, for the next 2 years, it's really about making sure we deliver what we've committed to the market and do it with a good profit and good cash flow outlook. And to do that, we really need to make sure we continue attracting and retaining the right people in our business to really make sure that they are with us, they grow with us, and we become the company people want to work for in the region because of our delivery and our sort of pipeline of options to grow the business sustainably. So with that said, I'd like to thank once again you guys for dialing in, and I want to hand it back to Kate, and we might move to some questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from the line of Adam Baker with Macquarie. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thanks, Brian and Martin. Obviously, been a lot of comprehensive updates from you over the past couple of months, so I've just got one question. Martin, I think you mentioned about the debt facility refinancing plan during FY26. You mentioned the second half. Is that the second half of calendar this year, or are we talking the first half of calendar next year?
Oh, g'day, Adam. No, I was referring to H2 of the financial year, so before June 26.
Okay, thank you. And just wondering on the debt refinancing, just wondering what can it incorporate? You know, are you looking at you know, quashing the undrawn loan note, you know, the Trafigura performance bond facility has been mentioned and obviously reached capacity there. Will those get tied up together with a new facility? You know, what sort of facility are you looking at? Would you be looking at a project finance facility, or are you looking at other options like a revolving credit facility, like some of your peers have done? And just wondering if, you know, how you're thinking about hedging, which may or may not go along with the future debt facility.
Yeah, so I am looking at more of a corporate facility, and I am, it's really quite open at the moment, Adam. Like, we sort of haven't even gone to the market yet. So we're just, what I'm looking for is ideally a revolving credit facility, an upsized performance bond facility that can, that we can roll the $17.5 million that we've got that in restricted cash at the moment into, but also gives me a bit of headroom as well for any other increases. New South Wales are reassessing how they do rehab calcs at the moment, so I just want to have some headroom available if any increases come through from that. But, yeah, more of a corporate facility. In terms of counterparties, yeah, it's quite open in terms of, you know, whether it is something similar to what we've got, or whether it's more of a bank club style. I'll really let the process, you know, go through, and we'll see what the best deal we've got. So I know that's a bit of a loose response, but right now we're sort of preserving all options. But the intention is to have an upsized revolving performance bond facility and a bit of a standby credit facility.
And you're pretty open to hedging that may or may not go along with the facility?
Oh, look, we're sort of open and maybe, you know, lonely in this camp, but, you know, we use hedging to protect our balance sheet, and I'm not sort of thinking about hedging in terms of mandated through debt facilities right now. I'm sort of thinking about it more in terms of the balance sheet and delivering the growth project. So, you know, I'll continue to consider hedging, definitely.
Okay. That's all I've got. Thanks, guys. Have a good day. Cheers.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Roy, a private investor. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning. Roy here. Thanks for delivering a profit for the full year. Congratulations. Well done. My
thank
question
you.
Is... Sorry?
I just said thank you.
Yes, good. My question is... the infill drilling at Federation produced a change in mining plan. Has that altered the amount of ore that was estimated in the Federation body? And
yeah.
The other question I'd like to ask is, will the upgrading of the plant at Peak have an effect on the processing rates and for the year that's done?
Yeah, so thanks for the questions, Roy, especially on Federation. So we've been drilling, the infill drilling and obviously doing grade control work over FY25. As we report to the market, we wanted to understand, obviously, the change in direction and the impact of it, if any. So we are in the process at the moment of working through our MRAW, which will be delivered in October. And so that will actually have all the calculations. The reason I asked that question that way is we closed the drilling off at the end of June, which is when we said, okay, that's all the assays we'll take from here and put into the models. And the models get done, and then obviously the engineers will put the shapes for the stopes around it, and we'll get some feedback in the coming months. As we move forward, so that, I guess that one's a bit of a work in progress, and as we get towards our MRAW process, as we've said before, obviously what's important to us is that we're delivering the metal. As we discussed with the information, we did tell the market that we had was that the area that we drilled and mined in the top part of the mine. The payable metal was actually there, and obviously that's the most important thing for us. If the metal's there and we can truck it to Peak and truck less tons but better grades and better payabilities, that's obviously a big win for us. That's what we have before to the market, but we haven't sort of come back with any new information until the results are finalised in the models over the coming months. On your second question, regarding the throughput. Yes, so the design of the three projects that we're putting in place at Peak, one is obviously the thickener, which does give us a better back-end capacity, gives us better recoveries and also of different consumables. But at the front end, we're putting in a materials handling crusher, which will actually allow us to reduce the size of the ore coming in from both Federation and from in the future Great Cobar and from the North Mine. So that will actually allow the size to come into the mill and actually will allow us to increase our throughput. And that's one of the key components of both the materials handling and the ball mill, is to basically allow us to definitely increase our throughput through the plant and really take out all the latent capacity throughout the plant by maximising the input to the maximum level effectively. So as we get towards the end of this year and FY27, those items will be installed and we'll basically start seeing those volumes ramp up in line with that throughput that's in those projects effectively. Just want to check, Roy, does that answer your question you're asking?
Yeah, that's good. That's a good answer. Yeah. Thanks very much. Yeah. Understand.
In addition to the projects which aren't on the page, the team on site also installed additional filter plates for zinc and lead at the back of the processing plant, and that's also going to help us as well. They weren't a major project. They're just sort of one of those things they need to install to get better throughput at the back end of the plant. So that's installed and working now and working very, very well to give us, especially with the high grades we get out of Federation, we obviously need to make sure the filter plates at the back are working effectively. So it's definitely helping us.
I gather from what you say that the upgrading is not going to affect the throughput substantially. Is that right? It's going to increase it. When it comes in,
the increase. This is all about increasing the throughput. Everything we're doing about increasing the throughput to 1.1 to 1.2 million tonnes coming in the front end, and obviously we want to increase the throughput, but also make sure we increase the recoveries as well. So we want to make sure at least maintain or increase recoveries. Metallurgical is a key outcome by what we do inside the plant as well as the front end of the plant.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
No, thanks for the questions. Appreciate them.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Hamish Wiltshire with Jefferies. Please go ahead with your question.
That might be me, sorry. Hi, Martin and Brian. Thanks for taking my question. Just had a little follow-up from Adam's question just on, I guess, is there any potential, I guess, the increase in environmental bonding requirements from Great Cobar and the Peak plant expansion, and is that going to kind of be captured inside of, I guess, the, refi and corporate facility as well? And I guess, is that going to, do you see a potential timing of, I guess, cash release as part of that?
Yeah, Hamish, g'day. So, look, we're still working through, the Peak expansion, there is, it's within the existing footprint, so that's not going to drive an additional disturbance area. I guess the point I was making is with the rehab calculator work that's going on with the regulator at the moment, we're just keeping an eye on what that will mean in terms of whether it is additional bonding that we have to put up. So there's probably a few moving pieces in rehab, but I don't think it'll be, materially, different to what we have now, but I expect it will be a bit higher.
And the Great Cobar project is using the existing infrastructure and footprint of New Cobar, which is the open pit at New Cobar. It accesses that portal. It uses the stockpile facilities there. There's any additional activities that are planned for Great Cobar is really a vent shaft, which will basically obviously be part and parcel of, shutting a mine down, you'd basically rehab that process anyway. So a lot of the work we're doing, which is really a good place to be in, is really around repurposing or using existing footprints, give or take a few small items. So what Martin's referring to is if there's a change in the New South Wales process, which has obviously been rolled out, we have to just account for whatever those changes may be, not necessarily massive changes in footprints or any other disturbance areas that we're talking about.
Yeah, And then just to follow up on the cash flows, so the anniversary of the tracker facilities is August, so so we've just passed the 2 years. So it's a four-year facility. Essentially, the cash backing steps down quarterly, 1/8 over 2 years. So, you know, we've got around $62 million drawn on that facility right now. So come November, there would be 1/8. Come February would be another 1/8. And then that's the sort of window that we're looking to close a new facility sometime mid-H2. And then all of that cash would then flow back, including the 17.5 that's currently restricted.
Yep, but no, makes sense.
Is that your question, Hank?
Yep, and sorry, it's Dan Robin, sorry. just had a follow-up on, I guess, the cadence of care and maintenance costs between Dargues and Hera, and just a clarification as well on, I guess, the Triple Flag royalty liability. Is there any, I guess, residual contingent obligation there, you know, or remeasurement or FX adjustments that you would expect over FY26 or 27?
No, so I think we made a note in the accounts, so that the Triple Flag royalty, if there's no production to be delivered, then that that obligation, there's no more obligation on that. And I think part of the closeout accounting, particularly for tax, was recognising that that liability was no longer payable. Can I just get your first question again? It was on Dargues rehab and Hera. Is that right?
Yep, sorry, just care and maintenance costs at Dargues and Hera over 26-27. Yep.
Yeah, so Hera's continuing to track at around that $1 million a quarter, and that is the spend that we are making to preserve the plant so that we can preserve that option of turning it back on. Dargues for FY26 would be around $7 to $8 million. Of spend, so that is actually starting some of the rehabilitation works there. That's not a care and maintenance cost as such, but the start of the rehab. The focus at Dargues has been primarily at the moment on managing water on the TSF.
Yeah, so Dargues is going to be a case where there's progress happening right now on, you know, replanting areas and getting obviously things sold off-site. And looking at sale of assets that sort of we don't know the value yet till we obviously have those sale processes move through. But in terms of the focus of the team there is really around trying to, in FY26, do capping of the tailings dam. Once the capping is done, that obviously allows us to start the more detailed planting and remediation work. Obviously, the rain in New South Wales has been consistently happening, especially down that region there. So we're really just managing water, and the spend will really move in line with that recapping process once we can do that. But all efforts are to obviously remove the water and cap it. That's where the focus is right now. So, yeah, that has been provided for, but it'll depend on managing the water and how we do that going forward. There's no concerns. It's just timing, that's all.
Okay, and you mentioned a few kind of assets and equipment sell downs at Dargues just then. I guess any more movements there, or are you still progressing kind of whole tenements kind of divestment, or is it pretty much just in rehab commitments for yourself at the moment?
Yeah, so there's obviously we've got items up for sale on the market. We've had several companies looking at several parts of the plant. As you know, most companies take a while to do their capital justifications and look at the specs and see if it makes their specs work. The team's also been actively getting the land, and we have a land and house up for sale down there as well. So we're going to basically get those things ready for sale where we can. So that we've sort of got those motions working. And so they're just going to be ongoing over FY26 and FY27. But obviously the priority is, to be honest, getting rid of the water and capping that dam so we can actually then start the remediation works in full earnest. That's the priority. And then once that's done, obviously we'll continue to move the equipment off-site So yeah, there's a plan, but it really, it's like I said, it's not locked in concrete until we can move some of the water.
Yeah, no, sounds good. Thanks, guys. I'll hand it over. Thanks.
Thanks for your questions.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Bill with Murray. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, I was wondering if you could comment on the Federation grades for last year. Looking at the numbers in the quarterly, it seems that the actual ore processed through to metals recovered, the grades were a lot lower than the actual reserve statement grades.
Yeah, so look, in terms of the overall mine design for Federation, what's important to understand is as you start at the top of the mine and move your way down, the anticipation was the grades would obviously increase with depth. So in terms of the grades that we're seeing coming out of the mine, they're pretty much in line with our plan and our budget process. And actually, in fact, we've been getting better recoveries than we had initially anticipated. So, yeah, as an average, it's when you look at the resource, it's a bit deceptive, but obviously the focus is that we anticipate through our drilling process and so forth that obviously grades will increase with depth as per the regional feasibility that we put out. So does that answer your question?
It does. FY26, then you would still be under the reserve grades, I assume.
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
For this year, this current calendar year, financial year, you would be under the reserve grades for this.
So in FY26, we continue to mine down. So we're staying from the top and mining our way down. The benefit of doing that is obviously we can generate a lot of mines can push their decline right to the bottom and mine up. Obviously, we are mining down as we progress. That allows us to deliver cash flow into the business and obviously pay our way as we mine down through Federation decline as we get deeper. So yeah, on average, like I said, the numbers in the regional feasibility were, if you call it average for the whole deposit. As we mine down, obviously, and we continue drilling ahead of ourselves, we'll unlock the full potential of the resource, that's for sure. But that was always anticipated, that we'd start up higher and move our way down, generate cash, and we'll unlock grades as we move down through the ore body.
Yeah, that's fine. I just need it for my model. That's all. That's what grades you anticipate. Just another couple of questions. What's the labour situation up in that region? There's been a number of comments from companies that the labour situation is very tight. And also, how much tax loss do you have carried forward?
I'll take the last one first, Bill. We don't have any, so we're in a tax-paying position now.
Right.
I'll take the second one. So in terms of labour, I think on the East Coast in general, speaking to a lot of my peers, the labour market is tight. Obviously, it depends on the role. So, certain roles for underground mining, jumbo operators, production drill operators, and even bogger operators, it's, obviously tight. We're in a situation where we're obviously running more equipment this year with Great Cobar kicking off. And so we've recently revised our whole employee value proposition for our workforce. So we've moved to things like a quarterly bonus, which is what the workforce is looking for, rather than annual bonus. We're looking at sort of other allowances to really attract and retain good quality people in both Cobar and the region. We're also looking at other sort of, salary sacrifice items that really don't cost the company money, but the individuals get the benefit from. So there's a bunch of things we're looking at for employees to really obviously show we value them and we want to grow with them. And really importantly, too, is the development of our people, making sure that people have a clear development plan, no matter what role they're actually in the company. So one of the things we've done in FY25, which has been a transitional period for us, we were outsourcing blasting activities and also production drilling activities. So for certain operations people, they didn't have a career path because we outsourced some of the roles that were actually in the natural career path process. So going into FY26, we've now insourced those roles, and now our employees can actually move through those sort of development areas and progress as they move through the organisation, which I think is very important for people to see. They've got another role they can move into that pays differently, possibly better, and they can actually develop their career as well with the company. So we're making a lot of inroads in that, which we really kicked off at the back end of FY25, and I really think we'll see the fruits of that in the FY26. It's not saying the market isn't tight. It is, I think, everywhere, but at the end of the day, we can only look after the people we have, and hopefully if we do the right thing by them, we'll attract and retain the right people also.
Yeah, that's great. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thanks very much for your question.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand the call back to Mr. Quinn for closing remarks.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. And look, thanks very much for everyone who's dialed in today. As you can see from the results for FY25, I really is in a good position relative to our peers. We really have a strong pipeline. We believe, obviously, and we're committed to funding that pipeline. We're also committed to really improving our operating performance to get better margins from our ore bodies and from our operations, but doing it most importantly safely and ensuring that we have a good social capital and license to operate with our communities we work within. So I think we're in a good position. I really value the support the investors have been giving us and sticking with us to really see this next phase out. We will do what we can to bring forward any potential opportunities in terms of delivering more cash. We'll obviously do that as we can. That makes sense. But we have a good year and a very robust year ahead of us to deliver, and we're looking forward to doing that with it. Lastly, I want to thank all the employees and contracting partners that are working with us. Obviously, without them, we aren't going to be where we are today. Lots to do, but I really think we've got a good set of people with the right values that really want to deliver with us. So it's exciting for us, and I value and very proud of what they've done so far. So thank you all for dialing in. Look forward to talking to you at the next quarterly update and at the AGM as well. So all the best. We'll speak to you soon.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.